Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 2 of the podcast on Fifth Avenue. It's me, Jordan, with Jenna and Taylor. How's everybody?
Good.
Doing well.
Ready for training camp to start back up?
Yes.
Same. I can't believe how close it is. Oh, my God. It's like, what? Almost, it's a week away, right?
Yeah, development camp starts this weekend, and then the day after that ends, 2 days after that, training camp starts. So right back into it.
Easy. Yes, we are. Praise the Lord. I've been missing hockey, something fierce. But before we get into any of that, development camp, training camp, news broke last week that our dear captain, Sidney Crosby, underwent hand surgery last week. So what does that mean for the team? Because obviously we don't want our stars playing less than healthy, especially because they're aging and it's difficult to, you know, have that dynamic at play as well. But we were already struggling with center depth as is with Crosby in the lineup. Malkin's out now. Now Crosby's out. It's a whole thing. So what do we think the center depth is going to look like to kick off training camp and the regular season? Taylor, if you want to start us off with that.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, you know, Crosby and Malkin both being out, it shouldn't be that long. We obviously don't have a timeline yet for Malkin, but I mean, Crosby, the way they phrased it is he would miss the start of training camp and is expected to be sidelined 6 weeks after his wrist surgery, which makes me think maybe he can, the way they worded that, maybe he could at least participate in training camp like towards the end. But that 6 week timeline, if he's out, that's only, I think, 4 games. But still, I mean, that's the center depth after that. I mean, Jeff Carter's first line center, apparently. which is, I don't know how we got here, but and then I think Teddy Bluger, second line center. Obviously, he's the next one in the depth chart. I know there's been some debate about like Gensel because he's played center before, but I think just at the NHL level, he really hasn't. So I would go Bluger. I mean, beyond that, I think it's really up for grabs because you have a couple of options like Zahorna, Rodriguez, O'Connor. There's not a clear, you know, clear cut third line center, fourth line center. So it's really up for grabs.
Yeah, it hurts a little bit. Jenna, what do you think? Who do you see as third and fourth line?
I mean, it was just like the way that this all happened was so interesting. And I think that at least initially when we heard from Ron Hextall, basically he highlighted how they seemed like they exhausted every option and they looked into everything where it was, you know, of course, surgery is going to be the last option. And this is interesting, too, because I really wondered if this was something that kind of plagued Sid throughout the playoffs, especially towards the end of the playoffs. I have to go back and like actually watch some of the film, but and like, you know, deep dive into it in that sense. But it seemed like there were portions of the late games in the series with the Islanders where we weren't seeing him take as many faceoffs. And I was like thinking about that. And I was like, wait a minute. So this, I'm not saying that you are associated, but just like in terms of if you would think logically of like, okay, this might make a little bit of sense in that way. But I mean, they do seem again, pretty kind of optimistic in the sense where he's not going to be missing a whole bunch of time. And I think, didn't we talk last week too, how it seems like when one's out of the lineup, the other automatically steps up compared to Malkin and Crosby. So it's interesting. Now you wonder, okay, who's going to be that next guy that's really going to step up? And I mean, they do seem to really like Evan Rodriguez. And I think he kind of was a little bit of that player. He didn't play center a ton in Buffalo, but there were times where you saw him fill in when he needed to and kind of be that role-playing guy. And we hear Sullivan all the time talk about his versatility, so I think they like him a lot. And then it is going to be interesting to see. Are we going to see Rodriguez at the third line, Zahorn at the fourth line? Are we going to see mixing of the third and the fourth lines? Because, again, with the timeline, it seems like Sid's only going to be out for a couple games. I think that whole part of it to me is, like, super intriguing, just, like, how it's all going to play out. Because, again, if you had asked a lot of people at the beginning of the season, this no one anticipated this.
Two guys, we did mention that Hextall did mention, too, guys who this could create an opportunity for, Dominic Simone and Michael Chaput. I think those guys would be, you know, at the bottom of the options here. Chaput, honestly, I forgot they signed him because I had him penciled in for Wilkes-Barre. Like, I wasn't thinking of him. He could be a fine depth option. He just hasn't played a whole lot in the NHL. Dominic Simone, he's, you know, like a lightning rod for fans. And he has played center before, like internationally he plays center. They tried him out. It's when he was here before. They tried him out at center. It was either in the preseason, like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and it didn't last very long. So I don't think he would be an option at center. So I don't think this necessarily creates a spot for Dominic Simone of all people. But he's someone that Hextall did mention.
Yeah.
So you both kind of mentioned sliding wingers over to the center position, and I have very little experience, none to be exact, speaking to coaches and staff of hockey teams. So can you kind of give some insight into what that process looks like behind determining whether a coach is willing to transition somebody from the winger to center, and like scenarios where that would be preferable in some cases?
I think what it is that a lot of these guys just do have experience playing center at, you know, whether it be college, juniors, the minors, and they just haven't done it at the NHL level. Like Angelo and Lafferty, we haven't mentioned them either. Mm. They were centers. So they can play center. It's just, you know, harder at the NHL level. The defensive responsibilities are harder. Yeah. The face-offs are harder. So a lot of times if a young guy is making that jump up to the NHL, if he can play wing or center, he's probably going to get in at wing. Like someone like Zahorna. Zahorna only played center when he was in Wilkes-Barre, but then he comes up and he's a wing. He was fine. I thought he was good as a wing, as a mm-hmm. center in Wilkes-Barre. I mean, he earned a call-up that way. So it's not the first time these guys have played center, it's just that they haven't done it really at the NHL level. So that's really what you're looking at.
Yeah. And it kind of ties into a little bit of their versatility too. Like Evan Rodriguez is kind of that guy. And it was so funny because again, that was kind of who he was a little bit in Buffalo, but then also I feel like hearing from Sullivan's very high on him and he really seems to like a lot of his qualities and like what he brings to the team. We didn't see obviously a ton of him at the end of the season for obvious reasons with the depth that they had at that point. But again, this is kind of why that you have that depth. And I think that, you know, he's not nearly going to be, you know, what Blueger would be for those bottom six guys, but he's a solid role player that, you know, can get you, help you. I don't even want to say like get by, but just can kind of help you buy a little bit more time in that sense for Sid to get back. So you can at least have a little bit of normalcy where you're not missing, obviously, your top two guys, let alone your top two Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame centers.
And then Brian Boyle too. Brian Boyle, he's coming in on a PTO. Yeah. So he would have to be signed to like a normal contract if he is going to, you know, play beyond the preseason. Again, it's really kind of hard to guess what you could expect from him just because he didn't play in the NHL or anywhere last season. Apparently he did have like offers maybe, or at least interests early on last season, and he just didn't end up signing. But he's someone that they could, because I mean, he is a center. He could come in, play center. Once they get healthy, I mean, you could maybe try to sneak him through waivers. And I mean, if he's on league minimum, that's something where like he wouldn't count towards the cap beyond. So, you know, he really could be a short term fix. And then, you know, a good option to have if it, you know, if he does work out. But he did play at Worlds with the World Championship. He captained Team USA. Okay. Not a whole lot of scoring, but just from, and I didn't watch a lot of Team USA at Worlds, but I did look into it. And he was someone that they were putting out there in big moments. Like it was, you know, a one goal game against Latvia in the final couple minutes, and they're putting Brian Boyle out there. So you know, he's someone, again, he hasn't played the last year, but when he was at Worlds, he at least showed, you know, something to earn that level of trust.
Yeah. And I'm intrigued too.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Jordan.
Go ahead.
I'm intrigued just to kind of see like the style, and are they going to change? Mm-hmm. Will things change? Will the look of this team? I mean, obviously on face value, you can say, of course it's going to change because you're without Crosby and Malkin, but will a little bit of how they play in a good way or bad way in terms of, you know, will they buy into Sullivan's systems even more so than normal, or will it be something where we see a different look for them just adjusting to what they have entirely?
Which is going to be critical, because even now, like hearing 6 weeks, or I guess whenever they say that Crosby's going to be out for any period of time, it just seems like the end of the world. But 6 weeks isn't that long from the moment that the surgery happened, especially because it was end of the summer. So missing 4 games at the beginning of the season is way more preferable to him missing an amount of time at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Because now they're going to find those depth pieces. They're going to have to figure out what's going on, because they lost a lot of their bottom six forwards. They're really going to have to figure some things out, and it's way better to do that up front and then find things that connect and click, because the energy line kind of came about haphazardly. It felt, and they really clicked. So you just never know what you're going to find in terms of chemistry with guys. And I think that, yeah, will they try to force them into Sully's system, or will they adapt and figure out what works for what they have and then get Crosby back, Malkin back, and then go from there? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But again, it's good. It's happening at the beginning of the season and not where the games are really going to start to matter. But why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back and talk about a development camp that starts this weekend.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we are back. So some exciting stuff happening with the Penguins this weekend. They are kicking off their development camp in Cranberry, which is exciting. They invited a bunch of prospects and guys who have not yet played at the NHL level to come out and see what they're made of. So Taylor, you have covered a lot of these guys. You know them pretty dang well. So who are some players to watch for? Who do you think might surprise us? Who do you think might not be making the cut? Fill us in. Give us the rundown.
Yeah, I mean, so I think most of these guys, you know, they're just not looking for a shot to play in the regular season out of camp, just because of, you know, the depth they have. And all of these guys are waivers exempt. So I think the options we talked about in the last segment are the more likely options to actually play in the bottom six. But I don't know. The development camp is like my Super Bowl every year. And my favorite part of development camp, it's not necessarily seeing guys like Poulin, Legret, Hollander that we all know about. It's, you know, the more known guys. It's the guys who maybe don't have who don't have full contracts yet. Maybe are there on AHL contracts. And just, you know, seeing if they can earn a contract out of camp, because that has happened before. I mean, Dorio, the goaltender, he's someone, Bellerive, that's how they got Bellerive that way. So there are a couple of guys like that. There are only two that aren't signed at all that they're inviting out of, well, I guess three now, because they added Chris Mauricio Ortiz on Wednesday. But Mauricio Ortiz, though, he's on an AHL contract. He's someone really interesting just because he's been, he played with Nathan Legre since they're 6 or 7 years old. He's a defenseman. Looking at like his advanced stats in the QMJHL, he was like one of the best draft age defensemen at you know, starting like the breakout. He has had some offensive success, so he's really interesting to look for in defense. Josh Williams, he's someone he finished what, number two in goals in the WHL last season. He was at development camp in 2019, and the biggest thing with him is he has like a real rocket of a shot. And I think, you know, the fact that they're bringing him back for a second camp is really encouraging, that he, you know, he's someone that could earn an actual contract out of this because he is unsigned. He does have the option to go back to the WHL next season, but he's now old enough that he can also go pro in the AHL. And the other one that's unsigned at all is Brett Brochu. He's a goalie. He did play for Wilkes-Barre last year just because the OHL didn't play at all, so those guys were able to play in the AHL when they normally wouldn't have been able to, age-wise. But he only played in the last game of the season for Wilkes-Barre, and he did all right. But, I mean, the year before in the OHL, he went 32-6. Like, that's his record. And every time, like, I type that out, I have to say, like, this is not a typo. Like, he went 32-6.
This is not correct.
I know. He was like OHL rookie record. Yeah. So really encouraging. He wouldn't go pro right away. If they would sign him, he would go back to London. And again, I don't know if there would really be a spot for him, just because by the time he would be old enough to go pro, you might have, you know, like Callie Klang or Joel Blomqvist coming over. But again, these could be diamonds in the rough because the Penguins really haven't had high draft picks in recent years. So this is where, you know, you get those guys who could end up being contributors down the line. But I mean, who are you looking forward to seeing?
Well, I was just saying, kind of along those lines too, like, it is so interesting because of the fact that they really haven't had a lot of the high draft picks lately, that like, these are some of the guys that you can look to, you know, these aren't going to be the crazy stars of the future yet. There is the potential. I mean, you look at, you know, guys like Pouliot and like Legere, I think those two, and Hollander too. Like, those are the three names I feel like that most Penguins fans at least know coming into this. And I think, you know, the fans that do attend camp, because it's open and free to the public to come see, like, I think they're going to be excited to see those guys, because you do want to see what the development process is, what these younger guys are doing, how they're coming up through the system. Correct me if I'm wrong, Taylor, but Poulin and Legere both just finished their junior careers.
Correct. So they can play in the AHL next year. Yeah. So they will be going pro.
Yeah, so those guys will be going pro. And again, you want to see them take that next step, because, you know, at every level, obviously, there are those jumps where it's like, okay, you're succeeding really well at juniors. Both of these guys have had a lot of success throughout their juniors' careers. But it's okay. How can you take the next step when you get to the professional level in the AHL and then potentially making that NHL roster? I think there's a lot of optimism for these two guys, at least through what I've been hearing. And I'm just kind of excited to see them in action, because I really haven't seen a lot of them. You know, I'm fairly new to covering this team entirely. So just kind of seeing all the younger guys make their way up through the system, where, you know, when I was in Buffalo, you see a lot of those guys kind of come up the ranks. I saw Victor Olofsson really develop, you know, all those guys that are now big role players. So how much will they factor in the next, you know, 3, 4, maybe even 2 years here?
Yeah. And I mean, defenseman too. Cam Lee, he's someone to really watch for. I mean, he's probably the most exciting defenseman on this list. I mean, he's someone that they already have signed. He did play his first, you know, pro season in Wilkes-Barre last year. Very elusive. He, you know, with the way he walks the line, he did quarterback the first power play unit until PO got sent down, and then he quarterbacked the second unit. The thing with him, J.D. Forrest talked about all year, was just managing that kind of risk-reward, because he's an offensive defenseman. He was able to get away with a lot more in college than he was than he did in pros. So it's kind of figuring out what kind of plays he can make offensively. And, you know, he did improve that way over the course of the season. He did seem to get more physical, more chippy towards the end of the season, too. He got in, like, two fights, at the last week of the season. That's something I think you would have expected to see from him. And then Josh Maniscalco, you know, probably the top right-handed defensive prospect. I think John Marino set really high expectations for, you know, those the guys coming out of college. Everyone's like, you know, they got another Marino when they signed Maniscalco out of Arizona State. It didn't quite work out the same way. He did spend the year in Wilkes-Barre, and he did spend most of the year as a healthy scratch. He only played 8 games. And I asked JD, you know, a couple times during the season, like, why isn't Maniscalco playing? He said, you know, there's a lot with his game that they want. He didn't get into, you know, very specific things, but that they thought they had to really establish and practice first before they got him into games. And I mean, when he was playing in pretty infrequently. So it was really hard to get a real read on how he maybe improved or what he needed to work on, what he was good at. So he's someone that, you know, he needs to come in and have a really good prospect camp too, and establish himself a more regular playing time, because he has size. He was a good puck mover in college. And again, he's really, you know, their top deep right-handed deep prospect. The next one is Will Riley. He had a pretty good year too in Wilkes-Barre, but I mean, the door's pretty open for Maniscalco if he can have, you know, a good camp and establish himself.
Yeah. I remember, actually, it's funny because I just like checked online, but I remember when they signed him, I was here for that. And I remember looking at his size and I was like, oh my gosh, this guy, what, he's 6'2", like 200 pounds, something along those lines. Or at least that's what he was.
Mario Lemieux made a pitch to him to sign here. So if Mario Lemieux was, because Lemieux's son Austin played with him at Arizona State. And I did like a phone interview with Maniscalco after he signed, and I asked, you know, like, did Austin kind of make a pitch? And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, Austin said, you know, if I sign, we can go golfing or whatever. And I was like, did Mario like try to? And he's like, yeah. He said he got a call from Mr. Lemieux. Oh. He called him
Mr. Lemieux.
I love that.
I know. So Mario sees a lot in this, because I mean, Mario did see him play a lot, obviously watching Austin at Arizona State. So if he sees a lot in Maniscalco, I mean, there's something there. So yeah, kind of a rough rookie season, but still a guy with a lot of potential.
Yeah. And that's, I feel like that's when you're looking at these guys, that's what you're looking for. How much potential do they have to develop? And again, that's why it's, you know, players develop, or, you know, prospects development camp in that sense. How much can you see out of them? They look for those, you know, intangible type things that I feel like we hear coaches always talk about, you know, things that you can't teach, where, you know, do they have those necessary skills that, hey, we can build upon, like we talked about last week, you know, P.O. Joseph, we can build on your weight. We can get you stronger. We can, you know, want you to hit more, those types of things. Like, you know, this is a good opportunity for them to kind of see what they have in this group. And it's just, correct me if I'm wrong too with you guys, but like, it's crazy. I don't feel like the start of the season is just around the corner. I really don't.
No,
this offseason kind of flew by with everything crammed in there. But yeah, I mean, a lot to look forward to. Honestly, one of my favorite guys to watch in Wilkes-Barre last season, he was on an AHL contract, and he did get an invite to this camp, is Felix Robert. He's a forward. He can play center and wing. He did move back and forth, but in Sherbrooke, so where Poulin spent most of his junior career before he got traded to Valdor last season, Felix Robert was Poulin's center. So they played a lot together. And I think when they signed him, the reaction was just like, oh, you know, cool, they signed Poulin's center. That's, you know, nice that they have that connection. But he wasn't a very highly, you know, touted guy. He went undrafted. They got him as a free agent. And I think, you know, a lot of people were looking at that, you know, how much of his offensive success was just a product of, you know, playing with Poulin and the guys he was with. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, coming into Wilkes-Barre, he I mean, he's small. He's like 5'9". He's short, but he is kind of stocky. He doesn't get knocked off the puck easily, and he plays, you know, a pretty physical game. I mean, I put up an article of like guys to look for on the site, and I have videos of Felix Rivera like throwing like much bigger players into and the boards, and he's fearless. You know, he'll do that, and then, you know, it's a big hit, play stops, you know, the other team's coming after him. There's like a video where you know, the other team's going after him, and Zahorna is right there, and Zahorna is massive. Zahorna could step in and, you know, you defend Robert, but like, Zahorna knows that you don't have to do that with Felix Robert, because Felix Robert plays like he's a foot taller than he really is. Like, no one told him he's undersized.
he doesn't know. If you pretend like you're 6'4", you're 6'4".
Yeah.
Other people will think it too. Yeah.
I mean, last season, the last two games of the season for Wilkes-Barre got really chippy. The one against Lehigh Valley, P.O. Joseph had a hit on a guy, and they were early on, and they were running P.O. all night. And there's a moment towards the end of the game where One of the Lehigh Valley players, Wade Allison, he's 6'2", went up to PO and like cross-checked him and had him down. And of all the players on the ice, Felix Robert comes in and fights Allison. Again, 5'9". Allison got the better of the fight, but just watching him, J.D. Forrest called him a water bug. He said they used him as an example in the room of like, this is like the effort, like you want to play like Felix Robert. So just seeing how he, you know, looks coming into this camp, you know, up against the guys like Poulin and Legere Hollander, the more, you know, well-known prospects. I mean, that's, I'd love to see how he stacks up against them because he was a lot of fun to watch. And again, he is on an AHL contract. And then Lindbergh, I don't know about you guys, the goaltending in Wilkes-Barre next year. I mean, what they just have, they added the veteran goalie, but the prospects, it's Dorio and Lindbergh. Dorio isn't at this camp just because he's been through enough, but Lindbergh, mm-hmm. who they sent out of college, I mean, he had great numbers at UMass. So yeah. I mean, that's someone that it would just be interesting to see. He was a draft pick of the Wild, but he did sign with them. They wanted to sign him, so it's not that they just let him go, but he was old enough that he was able to test free agency. So I don't know. It would be, you know, interesting to see if he can, because I don't know, the Domingue, I don't know how to say his name, Domingue, the goalie they signed to be the veteran third goalie. I mean, that's not a lock that he is the third. So I mean, Dorio Lindbergh put her in those spots. So yeah, a lot of interesting kind of battles to watch for.
Yeah, a lot
I'm
of.
I was gonna say, it sounds like it. Yeah,
I love sure. the development camp.
Yeah, I love your passion for it, and it's true though, because if you think back to the years that the Penguins won the back to back cups, starting in 2016, they pulled from Wilkes-Barre guys like Brian Rust and Brian Dumoulin and Matt Murray and all these guys who came up from their prospect pool who stepped up in a major way. And that's something that this team has been lacking. And it's something that's going to need to be their bread and butter coming up because our stars are aging and they're on their way out of the league. They're not coasting anymore. These are their twilight years. So they really need to be mindful of who they're picking up and how they're developing them because, yeah, these aren't the stars of today, but they could be the starting lineup of tomorrow. And we need to know who we have and what we're working with in order to start to develop that, those post Crosby, Malkin, Letang years, because it's coming up pretty quick.
And you know, the cup years, like you mentioned, you know, the guys that came up, they weren't really highly touted prospects when they were drafted. Mm-hmm. Like Tom Kunackle, when he was drafted, he was not like a, you know, top can't miss prospect, but he's someone that did spend time in the minors, really worked on his two-way game. He ended up being, you know, one of the best shot blockers on the team when he came up. And when he got to Wilkes-Barre, I remember, you know, watching him down there, he like did not back check any kind of defense at all. So, you know, there are these guys that they come in and they can, you know, develop their games at these camps and down at Wilkes-Barre. And then they can be those guys who end up being, you know, the dark horse candidates and they come up and can actually contribute, even if they aren't, you know, big names now. So watch out for Felix Robert.
Yeah, I like it.
Noted. Yeah, I do too. Let's take one more break. When we come back, we can talk a little bit more about training camp, which is also just right around the corner. Back. So some other exciting changes that are happening this season are it's the return of in-person interviews and media availability. Yeah. So we were talking in the break and it sounds like both Jenna and Taylor have some pretty incredible stories from the Zoom era of player interviews. So we're going to go through that and then have them kind of talk about what they're excited for with the return of in-person activities and all that stuff. So Jenna, why don't you open us up? Tell us some fun stories about Zoom and the horrors of it.
Oh gosh. Well, for me especially, because other than Evan Rodriguez, none of these players physically know who I am. Yeah. So that's fun. That's always, I'm like, hi, I'm that new girl that's asking you all these questions. And you're like, who on earth is she? but we like, for us on the back end, like, we don't have our cameras on, so they don't see our faces. Like some of the other Zooms, when I do stuff with the Steelers or the Pirates, they'll see our faces where they just strictly heard our voice. But I don't remember when it was, but it was something, it was, I think it was a post game with Brian Dumoulin. It may have been a post practice. And I went to ask a question, and there's this like noise in the background. I don't even want to attempt to make it because it was just so embarrassing. It was like, it was almost like a, ooh, like, I don't even know. I don't know. I have no idea what it was. There's this noise loud enough for like everybody. Like I looked, I was panicked in my eyes. I saw Dumoulin be like, what on earth? And then I like unmuted myself. I was like, was that me? Like, did I hear that? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, all right, I have no idea what that was. I was like, we're just going to pretend like it didn't happen and then like ask whatever question I was going to ask him. But like in that moment, I was just so mortified. I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, this is going to be posted. This is going to do something. Like, what on earth? Ugh. So that I'm excited to not have to deal with like crazy technical glitches and noises that make it sound like I don't know what is happening.
I mean, yeah, technical glitches that I was talking about this, you know, before we started, but it was pretty, we kind of didn't have any major ones. There was like a post game where I think it might've been after one of Casey Smith's shutouts. So, like it was like a pretty big game for him. It was, for some reason, there's like a connection issue. I think it was like on the Penguins end where it's like, there was such a massive delay. And it's like, he was confused and he's trying to get through it. We're trying to get through it. But like, I don't know. It was a mess. And I think they just ended up scrapping it. Like that video doesn't exist anymore, like anywhere. the biggest thing is like people remembering to mute and unmute themselves. Some people join like automatically unmuted and not be aware of it. Like I so many times, like we'd be sitting there like waiting for like a post game to start and like someone joins and like they're, I don't know. One time someone's just like burping constantly and I'm like, who, like we all hear this, like, and so like whoever that is, stop. And like the hand raising and all that. In the early days when we started doing these, it's on WebEx and a lot of people are having problems like remembering to like unmute themselves and all that. And I remember like one time, like someone got called on and it was like, it was during a Malkin press conference. And like, it was like pause and like Malkin's yelling, like unmute yourself. So honestly, they're probably, you know, ready for this to be done with too. I don't know. I think Evan Rodriguez, I think I'm going to miss his post games or post practice just because I don't know if you noticed, but any time we didn't talk to Evan Rodriguez a whole lot, not a whole lot of reasons. If we're only getting 3-4 players, you know, a game, it normally not going to be Evan Rodriguez, but anytime he did have a moment, he would always end his availability with something like have a safe drive home or like,
yes, I
was always, and so like, I remember any time he'd come up or like, what's he going to tell us today? Like, I need these positive words for Evan Rodriguez. I don't know. A lot of funny moments like that. I can't remember if I told this story on the last one, but like Patrick Hornquist doesn't do a whole lot of like, he didn't do a whole lot of like long media availabilities. Normally, you know, when we're in the locker rooms, there's maybe like a PR intern or staffer kind of standing by and they'll call like last question and, you know, cut it off when it's about, you know, time. Hornquist didn't need that. Hornquist would do it himself. Like, he wouldn't tell you last question, but like he'd, you'd ask, you know, someone asked the last question and he'd answer it. And he would kind of slur his last word and say, thank you guys. And before he got that out, he's like halfway at the room. Like, he just turned the last word and thank you guys. And then he's like already out, you know, he's in the change room. These player interviews on Zoom are a lot longer than like the 2 minutes, you know, they're like 10-15 minutes, which normally don't get in a locker room. And I remember like I think it was like one of the last times Hornquist talked to us. He tried that where, I mean, people saw their hands up and he's like, thank you guys. And then like Jen, like the Penguins, like PR director is like, no, Horny, like, can you do a couple more minutes? And Hornquist is like, it's just a lot longer than my normal 2 minutes. So yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff like that where I know players, they laugh like just the technical difficulties and the crappy circumstances of doing this all in WebEx.
And may we never forget the Nathan MacKinnon post Colorado's exit that Zoom, I have secondhand anxiety just from that Zoom. It was incredible. But I just can't not, basically, I don't know, for our listeners, if they didn't see it, absolutely go find this clip. It will be, it was so well worth your time. But it was after, I think it was after they lost.
After they got knocked out. So McKinnon's like not in a good mood.
Yeah. Colorado's knocked out of the playoffs. McKinnon's very mad. And the reporter just like, I think this also ties back too to the way that our questions, everybody hears them, whereas normally in a locker room, you're not entirely hearing everything and you get these asides with guys and you're just, you know, hey, break down that play. Whereas now you have to make it such a formal thing. So it was this reporter basically just, I don't even know where he was going with it. He just kind of was asking about a system and a play. And then he's just like, at some point you're just like, you know, and then drops an F-bomb, you know, F it and basically all this stuff. And just the way that McKinnon, I can't do it justice. Go look at that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It was coming back to me as you were talking about it. I suppressed it so far into the recesses of my mind because it was so stress inducing. Like, cause he rambled for so long. It felt like, and there, it was just like a Michael Scott improvisation. And I was like, can you please land the plane? Stop talking.
Like, oh, nice, easy. Just, you gotta do it.
It was rough.
Everyone hearing your question is just, you know, cause it's hard to work on it. Like if you want to work on like a Colton Sevier feature and you ask everyone about Colton Sevier, I don't know why you do that, but if you're out there, everyone's like, okay, that person's working on something on that guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just kind of hard because normally after practice you can talk to anyone you want and you can go up to them and it's easy to, you know, knock something out where you want it, you know, extensive like that. But I mean, I remember what, because Brandon Tanner, if he had, you know, the headshot, and I wanted to ask him about it, like I asked like what happened. And that's like not like, I'm like, okay, I don't want to ask that in a post game. So I have to wait until we get Tanev like after practice or a morning skate. And it was like a month into the season, I think, before I asked him, like, your headshot went viral like a little bit ago.
A while ago.
I was like, your brother said it looked like you saw the ghost. Like, what happened there? And he's like, yeah, I saw the ghost. And I don't know. The way he, just his deadpan delivery on that was great. But I don't know. But I love doing that kind of fun stuff. Like, one of my favorite things I did, you know, the last normal season, like I went around, I asked guys, like, you know, like what, because what the Sharks, the couple teams, they have individual goal songs instead of one normal goal song for the whole team, and everyone picks their favorite. And I went around and I asked everyone, like, what would you pick? And stuff like that. And it's like, you can't really do that in WebEx. Mm-hmm. And that's not like hard hitting stuff, but it's like the kind of fun stuff that I think fans like. And I know you got some fun answers. Remember what Joseph Blandisi said, shots by LMFAO. And I was like, that's probably the best answer I've heard.
That's a really good answer.
Dominic Cahoon was like, do you watch darts? And I was like, what? And he's like, the song that they play when they win the championship. And I'm like, okay. He was like waiting for someone to ask him that. I don't know, again, about darts. A couple of
darts. No one wanted to ask you about this movie.
Yeah, apparently. I was like, is that big in like Germany? He's like, oh yeah, you go to like, you know, bars and watch it. I'm like, okay. because I did this because it was right after they changed from Party Hard to Jump Around. And I was going around because I was asking like, what do you think about the change? And then like, what would you, you know, if you could pick your own, what would it be? And like, it was like a couple weeks into the season, remember? And I asked Dominic Simone, like, what do you think about the change? And he's like, they changed it, which like, Dominic Smith is already a lightning rod because, you know, he didn't score enough when he was in the top six. Really contributed in other ways, but for him to be like, they changed the goal song, and I was like, aw. Like,
oh, no.
I know. Yeah, just a couple things like that. I remember he did say that he, Party on Fifth Avenue, Mac Miller, he was like, that would be a good one. So props to him. But yeah, stuff like that. The other one I really liked that I did was, you know, they play Sewer Ball before the, it's like two touch, or you can play one touch, two touch, where, you know, they stand in a circle, they kick the soccer ball back and forth, and it's like, if it's your fault that it goes out, you're out. And like I said last episode, we see them playing this, you know, every time Sullivan talks at 5 p.m. because it's right next to it, and it looks intense. So I went around and I asked, like, for scout, like, first of all, explain the game to me, and then, like, give me scouting reports, like, who's good, who's bad. And like I went around and I was asking like, you know, who's like who's bad at it, and like everyone said John Marino, and like I went to like John Marino, And I asked him, like, you know, like, are you getting at it? And, like, Jared McCann from across the room was like, we already told her. Like, and, so, and those were the kinds of just, like, fun things, like, you don't get, like, WebEx. Aww. But, God, I don't know. I remember, like, I sat next to, like, Pedersen for, like, 9 minutes. And he just went around the room and, like, told me, like, he gave me scouting reports of, like, everyone in Superball. And it's, like, that kind of stuff's incredible to get that kind of, like, behind the scenes stuff. And again, not something that you can do on in a WebEx. You can't raise your hand and ask, you know, again, so like something about Super Bowl, you know, it just doesn't work. But so looking forward to getting back into the locker room. Well, yeah, I mean, because that is starting not in the locker room, but in person with the prospect camp. We're not gonna be in the locker room, but they're gonna bring them out and we're gonna be talking to them in person outside of the locker room. And then it sounds like COVID protocols, we're going to be back in the locker room during the season, as long as you like your masks and backs.
Okay.
I don't know. So looking forward to that and getting back to normal.
That's so exciting. Oh my goodness. And it helps people like me who don't get to see the players or interact with the players, get a glimpse into their personalities. And that's what really makes all of this so special, is that they are people, and like they're just so fascinating and so cool and funny. Like, I adore Brandon Tanev with all my heart and I miss him terribly. And his personality was just so fun. And he was in Pittsburgh for like a blip on the radar with media availability in person. And I just, that breaks my heart that we only saw like the tip of the iceberg with who he is as a person, because I feel like that would have just been even more fun to round him out that way. And I'm excited for both of you that you get to be back there, and that honestly things are sort of easing back to, you know, being open-ish with some restrictions, but it's going to be a lot better, I think, for everybody this season, because it's going to feel more like a season, even just having fans back in the arena in March, April. Like, that felt like, okay, we can take a breath. It's going to be okay. And now we're moving a little bit closer to that. So it's going to be really exciting.
I did like the empty arena for hearing players like be hearing what they were saying. I mean, the Penguins were doing like a little bit of fake crowd noise, so like it wasn't very. And we were up in the press box, you know, when it was empty still, so it wasn't easy to hear, you know, exactly. But I remember, like, you know, all the buildings were different. We were in DC, and DC they didn't have us in the press box. They had us in like the suites, pretty close to the ice level. They weren't piping in any, you know, fake crowd noise. And I mean, Tom Wilson had like a dirty hit in that game, and like Malkin went in the box for like, I think, retaliating after, and we would hear like clear as day, like Malkin and Tom Wilson yelling at each other. So that's another, if there are any positives to come out of, you know, the circumstances of the last two seasons, I mean, that stuff like that, just, you know, cause not a whole lot of people got to experience that, you know, the mostly empty arena. Quiet hearing Malkin and Tom Wilson going back and forth at each other, that kind of stuff. That and, you know, the easy drive into the arena where they were letting people in and parking right up front. But I much prefer things going back to normal.
I'll sit in traffic just so that we can have like crazy fans back in.
Exactly.
We'll make that sacrifice,
maybe. Offsets at least. Well, yeah. So that's gonna do it for another episode. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe wherever it is you listen to the podcast. Download the episodes and share them on social media so that everybody else can listen. And we'll catch you next week.